Hello, everyone. This is Dixie St. John, and it's Monday, November 16th, 2015. I'm with the October cohort, and this is Coach the Coach, Practicum 1, Class 2, Group C, for my caterpillars. Hey, guys. How's everyone doing?
Good, thanks.
Yay. Yeah. I hear someone. Yeah, I see that people are there. Okay, great. Thanks for giving me some feedback. So everyone have a good weekend?
Yes,
it was
now,
great.
I know we've had some real sobering, tragic events this weekend. And hopefully you all were able to, as Martha says, be the window and just let the light through in the midst of all this. I know it's been tough for a lot of people and for the world, so but hopefully the weekend was able to, you were able to have a pleasant time nonetheless. So welcome, guys. Hope you guys had a good experience with your practice coaching this week. So I actually saw no comments on the forum. Totally, totally shocked. No feedback, no questions on the thread. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because I was seeing like some of the other instructors had a lot coming in, so I'm not sure what that means, but I guess I'll find out. I am hearing a little feedback. If someone's got some background noise, if you could just 4-star, that would be great. So as last week, I'm going to go ahead and take roll, but I'm going to use this as part of our opening here, and I'm going to go down and call your name. And when I call your name, I'd just like you to describe what you're feeling in your body, okay? So, it doesn't have to be more than a couple of words, what you're feeling in your body. All right, I'm going to start at the bottom this time. So, I'm going to go with Catherine. 4-star if you're muted. Catherine, are you there? How about Lisa?
I'm here.
Hey, Lisa. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what's going on in your body? What are you feeling in your body?
Well, I am feeling full of breakfast, full of energy, and it's a little bit hard to breathe all the way through. Taking shallower breaths than usual.
Okay, so you're noticing that in your chest area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make that mean?
I think it's pressure of it's Monday and just feeling like the week needs to begin and so much to do and that sort of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So why don't we just take a couple of really nice, deep, shallow breaths. I mean, not shallow breaths, deep breaths.
And a laugh, too.
Yeah, let's get rid of the shallow breaths, some nice, deep breaths, and just for the next 90 minutes, we can have our energy, but we can also breathe.
Thank you.
Right? Because the fullness that you described is you want to be full of your own breath as well. You want to be within your own body, right? And when we tend to take shallow breaths, lots of times we really lose that connection with our body.
Mm.
So good to notice. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Breathe now. Adrienne. 4-star if you're muted. Adrienne?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I was a little late to the call. What are we giving our intentions?
I'm just asking you to describe what you're feeling in your body.
My stomach is tense. It's Monday. I echo the last person. I'm feeling overwhelmed with a lot of things to do this week and hoping to put those aside for class.
Okay. So just notice, and this is for everyone, Adrian named a sensation in her body, right? But she also named a feeling, right? She said she was overwhelmed. So, and that could actually even be, some people would argue that's not even a feeling, that's more of a judgment or a thought. But my point being is that we can talk about our feelings, and we also can talk about where we feel them. I'm trying to get you guys to see the difference. Does that make sense? So, Adrienne, you said your stomach was tense.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're interpreting that is that that's your overwhelmment, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're feeling it in your stomach.
Yes.
Okay. So, again, just the calming yourself in the breathing. Because for 90 minutes, you're really not going to be able to do anything else but be here. So being present in your body, okay? But no, there's no right or wrong here. I'm just trying to get you guys just to stop a moment and notice. Because that's what we're going to be getting our client, having our clients do. So thank you, Adrienne. Lisselle.
Well, thank you for stopping and breathing, and I needed that. I am feeling tight in my chest and churned up in my stomach.
Hmm. Okay. Twisty in your stomach. Okay. Great. Not the feeling, but the description. Thank you, Lisselle.
Dee Dee.
Four star.
Yes, hello. Good morning. Good
hey,
afternoon.
Dee Dee. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I would say hello. I would say I have some kind of jittery, kind of fast heart beating feeling. I can feel my heart beating rapidly. Feel, I guess, anxious is not a feeling, right? It's not. Anxious would be more of a state.
Where do you feel anxious in your body?
My head. Kind of.
Sorry, guys.
Just kind of. Just trying to calm my thoughts. I guess just kind of come down a little bit. Breathing has helped.
Good. And I encourage everyone to just continue to do that. We have like, you can just pretend that we have like this 90 minutes of, this is like a life coach spa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just sink into this, and there is no need for tension here. So thank you for that description, Dee Dee.
Okay.
Aida, did I say that right? Aida?
Mm-hmm. Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I would say I feel sort of like warm sensation in my temples and head, and a little tight in my chest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And does any of that feel pleasant?
Not really, no.
Okay. All right, good to know. All right. Okay. Welcome, Aida.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sarah.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm feeling a lot of restriction in my throat and in my gut area, kind of like that fluttering feeling when you're on a roller coaster, letting the that sort of feel. I think that's the majority. That's where the majority of what I'm feeling. Those two locations.
And can you attribute those feelings to any particular emotion?
Fear.
Okay. And can you attribute that fear to any particular thought?
Yes. So funny you're saying this. I didn't spend any time in meditation or prayer this morning like I normally do. And immediately when I tend to not do that, the fear comes up, fear of loss. And that's usually my go-to fear, thoughts around that.
Fear of loss. Say more about what you mean by that.
It can be any number of things, but a lot of time what I'm currently working on is fear in relationships. I'm married, and I have a lot of fear of loss I'm working through around that.
Okay.
To have a relationship with loss instead of just being terrified of it.
A thought would be something along the lines of I'm going to lose something. And I'm not going to fill in the blanks, but there's a thought there, right?
Yes, and it could be you could put any number of things in that. I'm going to lose.
Got it. Okay. So you have a thought based on loss that leads to fear, and this fear causes restriction, you said, and a gut fluttering, like you're on a roller coaster.
Yeah, really intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good to know. And this right there, you've kind of taken a very basic body compass reading of a negative body compass, right? If you had to rate that fluttering on a roller coaster feeling and this restriction in your throat on your body compass from a negative 10 to a positive 10, where might you put that, Sarah?
Negative 9. Really.
So this is a really strong, powerful, negative reading for you. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to name this particular kind of overall sensation, just so you could kind of remember this, because my hunch is you've had this same body sensation many times before. Tell me why I'm wrong. What might you call it? What might you call this particular cluster of physical sensations?
In terms of if I had to I'll just take a shot at this. Maybe it's like it's panicking.
Okay, well that's kind of, and that might be the name. I'm kind of looking for something that if you said that word to yourself or that sentence, that name, you could immediately conjure up this particular unique kind of feeling, your negative 9 feeling.
Oh, okay. There's a few things I could think of, but divorce is one word that I could think of, or death.
Death, mm-hmm. Or you could even, you know, it might not work for you, but it could be that even the roller coaster feeling could even be a way to describe that to yourself. Sometimes just describing the physical sensation.
Yeah. I was watching all the videos, and I can conjure this feeling up in like a half a second, and it is I'm at a point where it's like debilitating, where I need, you know.
What
Martha was talking about, the more that I try to resist it, the stronger it gets.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's something I'm really. Ready to tackle.
Right. And so, again, though, you don't want to tackle it because that would be resisting, right? That's fighting back.
Right.
It's actually going to be acknowledging it, and we're kind of doing this right now. We're just starting that process. You're starting to feel into it. You're starting to describe it. You're starting to, you know, you're negative 9, and you're looking for a way that you can kind of name it so that when it comes back, you'll say, there's my fear of loss feeling, for example. That could be what that is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So your negative nine kind of has a name then. And I'm not going to, you know, belabor that now, but I would invite you to just kind of come up with something so that you know, okay, there it is again.
There's
and you'll learn more about naming these stories in practicum too. But right now we're kind of naming the body sensation that's associated with a low reading like that. Does that make sense?
Got it. And just one question. So when I name it,
mm-hmm.
there's my feelings of loss again, or thoughts of loss. I just allow it to be present, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You initially do, yes. And we'll and again, we're going to be talking more about the thoughts behind those feelings, because remember, there's a story there, right?
Right.
But when you feel the sensation in your body, again, we're just right now trying to kind of name that physical sensation. Not so much the story, but like what's that negative nine? How can you remember that and kind of ground yourself in that to know that this is your bad body compass reading or your negative body compass reading? But yes, you want to then allow yourself, not resist it, but allow yourself to feel it. There's time to question this later, right? But initially, you don't want to fight back against the sensation.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and thank you for letting me use you for a little example there.
Of course, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sarah. Johanna.
Hi, Dixie.
Hi.
Hi. So I am feeling a bit of fluttering in my
mm-hmm.
hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel a bit of pressure on my chest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And do these, is this a pleasant sensation, Johanna, or is this not so pleasant?
The fluttering in my hands and feet are very
mm-hmm.
pleasant, almost maybe excited. But
mm-hmm.
the pressure on my chest does not feel pleasant at all.
Okay. So you're kind of having mixed sensations, right? Which
yes.
could be coming
mm-hmm.
from mixed feelings, right?
Yes.
and probably mixed thinking. So, but
yes.
that's just good to know, because all I want you guys to do now is just to kind of start noticing where things show up and being able to, like, pinpoint your body's sensations. So good job with that, Johanna. Is it Johanna? Or Johanna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Johanna, okay. Beautiful name. Thank you. All right, Tessa. Tessa, are you there? Hope?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. I'm feeling... let me think about this. A little fuzzy, and like I'm swathed in cotton. I'm getting over a mild flu, and I'm also off my body clock by 2 hours because I traveled some over the weekend. So it's not an unpleasant feeling. It's just a little, I guess fuzzy is the best word I can think of. Like, I'm trying to break through into three-dimensional color, but my head's congested and I've got a little, lingering cough, and I'm a little tired because I had to get up earlier than normal at 5 a.m. on my body clock. So,
okay.
But I do feel calm and peaceful as well.
Okay. So this fuzziness, the swath and cotton feeling is primarily in your head area? Is that what you're saying?
It is. It's around my forehead and extending from my eyebrows up a little bit to the crown.
Mm-hmm.
So frontal lobe area, yeah.
Okay. So your frontal lobe is just fuzzy. it's cottony today. All right.
It's cottony and tired. I don't know if tired is a feeling, but I do feel a little low energy.
Mm-hmm. So you feel
as if I just got up too early. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As if I get up too early, but it is a relaxing feeling too, because I can't do anything quickly. It's like I'm moving through water.
That's a good point. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So you're calm in the midst of the cotton. Right. And you're in Hawaii, so I'm not going to be too sympathetic.
Excuse me. Yes. I know.
Sorry about
not,
the congestion.
I won't ask for it.
But if I was going to be fuzzy and swathing cotton, I couldn't think of a better place to have that going on. So
that was my theory. Yeah.
Oh, I'm teasing you. Okay, thanks, Hope. Rachel.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. So I feel pretty open, easy breathing, a slight bit of maybe fluttery energy around sort of my midsection, a little bit excited. Maybe that's what I would say that was from. But pretty clear and open today.
Okay. Sounds like a nice place to be.
Yeah.
So welcome, Rachel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Katrina.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi. Okay, good.
Yes.
How do I feel? I feel warm, but I live in Phoenix, so most of the year I feel overheated, like I'm trying to keep cool. There's always a fan on in the room. But it's a cool day in Phoenix. It's only 55 degrees for us. That's cool. Chilly. And I have my door open. I have windows open because I want the room to be cool because I want to feel that. But I'm also wearing long sleeves and socks. And that's weird because I spend most of my life in flip-flops or barefoot. So I feel ensconced and a little bit cuddled and physically warm in a nice, comfortable way. And it's a novel feeling for me because it doesn't happen that often in Phoenix.
Mm. Okay.
That's
any
right.
Particular place in your body that you're experiencing that warmth?
My
or is
feet.
It just all over? Your feet?
No, it's mostly my feet. Socks feel so
That's...
foreign that my feet are, like, they're almost too warm, but it feels pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to be – I wish I had that sensation for the next, like, 6 months because I'm going to have cold feet for probably till, like, May. So
yeah.
That's a nice problem to have, warm feet.
It feels cozy. It feels cozy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Thanks, Katrina.
Thank
Catherine,
you.
Are you here? I'm going to go back to Catherine and see if you came to class. Or Tessa? Okay. All right. Well, guys, I know that was a little bit of an introduction there, but I did this with purpose here.
Purpose here.
It's I'm echoing. Did you guys hear that echo? That was strange. Can somebody let me know they're hearing me, please?
I hear you.
I hear you.
Awesome. Okay, great. Okay. I went through that, introduction because it's a, it's a good illustration for and an opening for our class to talk about, feeling into your body sensations and noticing what's going on within your body, because that's what we're going to be doing today with the body compass and also always with your clients. So any questions? I know before we get started, I usually open up the class with any questions that came up during your practice sessions. I didn't see anything on the forum this week, which was kind of unusual for class one. So I'm hoping no news is good news, but anybody have any feedback or questions from this week? I'm going to take not too long because I'm going to get started, but be happy to answer anything that came up for you.
Dixie, this is
Lisa.
Hope. I'll be happy to share my experience if you want.
Okay, I heard Lisa first, so I'll take Lisa and then I'll take Hope. So, Lisa.
I'm having problems with hunches versus mirroring. I'm able to easily paraphrase or mirror what someone is saying, and I know at times that's helpful. And then the hunch is more of a challenge to me just because it's new. Can you say a couple of sentences about how to go deeper?
Okay, well, your hunch, all right, first of all, mirroring, that's, you know, I think a lot of us have probably, if not all of us, because we're kind of natural listeners, mm-hmm. we're kind of natural coaches in that sense. We've learned to mirror back what people say in order to let them know that we're with them. And there's nothing wrong with that to a point, but you don't want to use too much mirroring with coaching sessions because it can tend to, first of all, it delays, it slows things down, but then it also can, new coaches sometimes tend to, and Lisa, thank you for pointing this out, because new coaches sometimes tend to confuse the two and use mirroring, and then after they're mirroring, say, tell me where I'm wrong, when really you're just regurgitating in different words what the client just said. So that said, you want to try to, you certainly can repeat if you don't understand something, and you certainly can give an empathetic response if something feels warranted. However, a hunch is a better way to move the session along. So how to find a hunch? That's something that's going to come up with your marmoset. So basically, it's kind of like, you know, you read about, Lisa, did you read about like coffee talk?
Yes.
That concept, and you've seen, you know, me do that with you guys. That is, or heard, that's kind of the way your hunch might come up. So it's kind of like if you were sitting down talking with your friends about a particular client. What would you think was going on for that client? It doesn't always come to you like super quickly or naturally, especially in the beginning, because you've got so many other things that you're trying to focus on. So if you can somehow say, you know, say to yourself, what do I think is going on here? You know, as you're asking them to say more. Or what does your marmoset want to know more of? And then coming up with something and just throwing it out there. You could be completely off base. It doesn't matter if you don't get the hunch perfect. So I don't know if that answers your question. Mirroring is kind of more natural to you, I'm guessing, because you're probably used to doing that.
Yes, yes. And
right.
I have hunches many times, but they're not fully formed or
mm-hmm.
ready for showtime, and you're saying do it anyway. just throw
right.
it out
and,
there.
And I'm saying throw it out there. And the other thing with hunches, and I'm sure that I'll be reminding you guys of this, is that you don't want to make them super complex. And that's the other thing I hear cadets doing is they kind of, I have a hunch, and then they go into this long, elaborate theory. And then they say, tell me where I'm wrong. So it's better to keep it short and succinct. You can always then have another hunch on the tail of that, if that makes sense. So just practice that. Practice throwing out, you know, and just framing things up. If you have an idea or a theory, just put it in the hunch form. And then ask the client to tell you where, you know, you're wrong.
Okay,
I hope that
thank
helps.
You. Yes.
Okay? And I think it'll get more, you know, try it for the next week or two. And if you still have problems, circle back to me, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Hope?
Yes, thank you. I had the flu last week, so I couldn't stop coughing and I was a mess, so
mm-hmm.
I could not participate in my Martha Beck call to coach each other.
Mm-hmm.
I had to skip it. But in the meantime, on a few days later, when I was feeling better, I was working with some of my regular clients because I coach writers. And the coaching that I already do is more about developmental writing and helping them shape their books or write their books. It's not so much about helping them see their lives differently, although that's definitely part of what they're doing through the writing process. But I was a client on the phone, and we had an incredible breakthrough when I started using some of the tools that we learned last week, which was so wonderful to see that it could be applied to this work and that there's a whole other dimension, you know, that I can bring it to. But she about talking about how she felt that she was feeling stuck in her writing because she has a very tragic story about losing both parents in an accident when she was in her 20s, and she's writing about the aftermath of that. And she said every chapter is so dark and depressing, and it feels very episodic, and I'm just moving from one dark scene to another. And so I was asking her, well, what's making you feel least satisfied about the work you're doing right now? And she elaborated on that, and I said, say more about that. And she said more about it, and then I went to the hunch and said, so it sounds like maybe you're saying that you're worried that readers are not going to stick with your book because it's just going to depress them, and they're going to feel sorry for you or feel sad and not want to continue. Tell me where I'm wrong. And she said, no, I think that's it. And so together we were able to then problem solve, you know, go off in the direction of then really working on the book. And I said, well, maybe we need to find a lighter storyline that you can interweave, and because writing should be fun. And I sense that you're not having fun with this. Tell me where I'm wrong. And she said, yes, I want to sit down and be excited about writing, but, you know, it's dragging me down. And so we found another storyline that she could weave throughout this narrative that she would look forward to writing, and that would give the story some levity. And she got off the phone really excited to get back to work. And I thought, wow, man, this stuff really works. What a surprise.
High five.
So
that's
it was a really good
hope.
Experience. I don't think I was, you know, I didn't feel particularly effective using the tools as a life coach, but I was able to at least apply the few that we had learned so far to the work I was already doing and see some positive outcome. And that was a really nice feeling.
Well, tell me where I'm wrong, but your client was living her life, right?
Yes.
Clients,
there's a lot of overlap
living
there.
Right. So what does life coach really mean? I mean, if you think about it, you're helping someone, you know, live their better life, helping them with their essential self. So to me, that is life coaching. And you were able to get her to some deeper truths. So by merely asking her to tell you more information, to give you more information, and then coming up with sort of a guess about what might be behind that, right? And throwing that out to her and asking her to tell you where you're wrong. So she was able to then make that connection inside of herself that she hadn't made before. To me, that's coaching.
Terrific.
So awesome. Good job. Excellent job. It's all life is coaching, right? It's everywhere we take it. So great observations, and I'm glad you had that feeling of these tools working, because like I said last week, even these simple tools can really wiggle and free up a client from some of their thinking. At least it can show them what's maybe going on for them. So excellent. Thanks for sharing that, Hope. Okay. Any other burning questions? Because I'd like to get started with our body compass. Any other burning questions or comments from this week? Did you guys get a chance to listen to your to watch your video and listen to the demo? I believe it was with Bev and Deb of the body compass. Is there, an audio demo there? Yeah, cool. Okay. All right, so we're going to be playing with a body compass today and the to-dos. So I'll explain more about what that means in a minute. But the body compass is really an important part of your coaching. And it's another access tool, just like we learned last week. I tend to call it the holy grail of coaching, because it's something that you're going to be using with your clients from this point on, you know, from the beginning of your coaching relationship. I am getting some feedback from someone, so if you are in a noisy place, could you please mute? And that would be star 4. Thanks. So for many of us, and especially muggles, Martha calls, you know, regular people muggles, we're not tuned into our body's messages. So we're very much in our minds. We're very thinking focused and oriented. And so the body compass helps us learn how to tune into our body's messages and our central self messages, basically. So it teaches us kind of a new language and a method of interpreting our central self. And it helps the client become familiar with gauging his or her body sensations and truth. So it's kind of a it's a calibration of sort to help the client start to be able to tune into what's going on in their body, what their body's trying to tell them. So we introduce the body compass in the very beginning of the coaching relationship. I typically do the body compass, if not the first, definitely by the second session with a client. I've taken them through that body compass exercise and help them, you know, find their negative and their positive and be able to calibrate that. And then we go back to that and we use the body compass throughout the rest of our coaching relationship. So, for example, when I spoke with Sarah earlier and I had her kind of describe and go into a little bit more deeply into those sensations, she named her body or she listed her body compass reading as a negative 9. So that would be her kind of her low body compass calibration. And then I would then go through and, of course, go through the entire body for a positive memory as well. I still am getting some feedback here with some rustling and some noise. So if you're unmuted, please mute if you have any banging or anything going on. Okay, thank you. So again, the body compass is a way to help our client tune into what's really being said inside the body. Now, I know when you listen to your video and you heard the demo, there's two different versions of the body compass. There's a long version, and that's when you go and you basically take the client through with a negative memory and a positive memory. You take them through their entire body. You scan the body. And you begin with one end of the body, and you slowly go through the whole body. Just want to point out that that is what I do with my clients when I take them, you know, when we have our initial body compass session. For purposes of today and also what I believe you heard on the demo, we're going to do a short body compass version, which is basically instead of scanning the body and very slowly going through each part, we're just going to focus on a negative memory and then ask the client, you know, where that's showing up in their body, similar to what I did when I called Roll today. Does that make sense? So we're not going to go through and slowly do the complete scan of the whole body, but I just wanted to let you all know that that is what I would do for a first client session. Any questions on that? All right, I'm hearing some banging. It looks like it. Let me see if I can mute this caller. All right. Okay. So another thing I want to point out that's important when you're taking your client through the body compass is when you ask them to think of a negative memory, we don't want to ask them to think of the worst thing that's ever happened to them. And that's because it could be something that was really traumatizing, and it's not a good idea to bring that back up again. First of all, we wouldn't be equipped to be able to help the client process that. And so what we're really looking for is, you know, a negative memory, but we don't ask them to give us a really, really terrible memory or their worst memory. All right? So after we go through the body compass, I'm actually going to do the body compass and have some of you coach the body compass and have a client. But then we're also going to do something called the to-dos. The to-dos are a way for the client to apply the body compass in their daily life. So if you are coaching your client, we're going to be showing you a way to use the body compass as an access tool to have more coaching fodder, if that makes sense. So it's kind of an access point for further coaching. So if you're taking your client through the to-do list, you're going to be finding, you know, areas that are giving the client a low body compass reading. And that might be an area where there might be a limiting thought. So that might be a place then you could find to work with the client. So, for example, if you're in a coaching session and, you know, nothing's really coming up for the client initially when they come to the to your call, you could always ask them, well, what do you have coming up, you know, in the next couple of days? What's going on? You know, what do you have planned? And then you can hear them talk about that and ask them to give a rating for each of those tasks that are coming up. And if you find a task that's really low, that would be a good thing to start to work on. That could be something you might want to use in your session.
So can I ask
any questions? Sure.
Yeah, I just have one question about the to-do list, and I saw the demo of Martha doing it, and it was great. But my question is it really only used when a client isn't sure what they really want to tackle that or talk about that session and they're unclear?
No.
That when you would use it only?
No. I mean, not at all. I mean, lots of times, you know, a client will be in the middle of, you know, a session and, you know, he or she will say, you know, oh my goodness, I've, you know, got to do this or I've got to do that. And that's the got to as well. You know, you may have heard the Martha talking or about, you know, the have to versus the choose to.
Yes.
So I will then, you know, challenge the client and teach them about that. You know, that there's really not very much that we really have to do. But then after, you know, going through that, I might say to them, you know, so where does that land on your body compass? Because those types of things will come up, you know, in the session, in the middle of talking about something else. And it may or may not be, you know, something we would want to segue to, but I might just make a note of that and come back to it. So, you know, it's really about how the session unfolds and how it flows. So, no, it's not just to be used when there's nothing else to talk about. Typically, it comes up kind of on its own. And I'll just use the body compass to, you know, just, you know, almost every time when something comes up the client is sort of complaining about or not looking forward to, I'll ask them, well, where is that on your body compass? And then we can sometimes break it down as well. So it could be that, you know, something they don't want to do, I'll help them break it down, and we'll actually divide it up into parts of that task. And those parts can actually have different ratings as well. So, for example, if you, you know, I have to go to my friend's wedding, and you give that a -3 or something like that, or negative whatever. I might, you know, after kind of digging around with that a little bit, I might ask, well, what are the parts of the wedding? You know, let's break this down. And it could be that it's not that they're really dreading the wedding. It could be that there's, oh, I'm going to be seeing my old boyfriend at this wedding. That's that's giving me a -9, right? Whereas being at my friend's wedding and the ceremony itself might not be the issue. So it's just an access tool to get more information to go a little bit deeper. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, good question, though. Good question. Okay. So, guys, what I typically do for this particular class is, even though you guys have heard a demo, I find that most times my cadets are actually best served if I go through and kind of demo the first little portion of this with someone. Does that make sense? So if I do the first part, that way it kind of reinforces this because it can be a little bit confusing. So I'm going to ask someone to be my client. And I'm just going to show really quickly how you might go through this kind of this short version. And again, remember, you'd be using the longer version where you'd scan the entire body with both the negative memory and the positive memory.
So who would like to be my demo client here?
I will.
Dee Dee. Now, Dee Dee, remind me, were you a client last week?
I was a coach.
Okay, good. Okay, perfect. So, Dee Dee, you'll be my client. And, Dee Dee, are you up to being the client for an entire Body Compass session?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. What I mean by that is I'm going to pull someone else in to do the next step, and then I'm going to pull somebody in to do your to-dos.
Okay.
So if you're up for that, to stick with that. Otherwise, I can pull someone else in for the client. But typically, it's easier to, for continuity to have the same person.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I'm up
for
it. I'm up for it.
All right. I'm going to do her negative body compass reading just to kind of give you guys just further clarity on, you know, kind of what steps to take. Then I'm going to have somebody come in and do her positive body compass reading. Who would like to do that? Would like to coach Dee Dee with the body compass with her positive memory? Who didn't coach last week? Come on, guys. I'm going to show you how to do it.
This is Lisa. I'll do it.
Okay, Lisa, you did not coach last week, right?
Right.
Okay. And then who would like to be my next coach after Lisa? Because we're going to have somebody do the to-dos.
I will.
Who's this?
Lisselle.
This is who?
Lisselle.
Oh, Giselle. Okay. Wonderful. Oh, Lisselle. I'm sorry.
Lisselle.
Mm-hmm. Lisselle. Okay. I was looking for Giselle. I'm like, there's no one here. All right, Lisa. All right, so we're going to start off. I'm going to take Dee Dee through her negative memory, and then I'm going to have Lisa be the coach for the positive memory, and then Lisselle, I'm going to have you do the to-dos. All right? And everyone else, I'd like you to really be listening carefully, as always, and taking notes, and if any hunches come up, things like that. Pretend that this is your session, okay? All right. Well, Dee Dee, thank you for volunteering for this. So I'd like you to just take a moment and just take a couple of nice deep breaths and just get grounded in your body. And once you're there, I'd like you to think of a time or a situation in your life that was painful that you don't want to repeat. Something, you know, that you just don't want to repeat. And you don't have to tell me about it. Just let me know when you have that memory.
I've got it.
Okay, and I'd like you to hold that memory and play that memory back like a movie. And as you're remembering the situation, I'd like you to bring it into your sensory awareness. What do you see? What do you smell? Think about the sounds that are coming up. And I'd like you now to just slowly, with that memory in mind, scan your body from head to toe. And tell me where you feel this memory in your body.
Okay, I feel it in the top of my head. I feel it in my gut.
And describe how it feels.
It's tight. It's very cold and prickly.
Inside in your head?
Both. All over. Mm-hmm.
Any other sensations?
Just kind of cold, very cold.
And is that all through your body or specifically your head and your gut?
My feet, my hands,
mm-hmm.
as well, a little bit in my legs.
So say more about the prickly.
Just a bad feeling of I guess resistance, or like the more I think about the thought, the heavier that prickly cold feeling gets.
Okay, so it's in the top of your head and in your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to name this feeling, this cluster of sensations in your body, what might you name it so that you could anchor into it and bring yourself back to this particular sensation?
Shitty.
The shitty feeling? How would you describe it if you had to... I mean, you've kind of used some descriptive words already.
Like prickly pear, I guess, or prickly. It's just like there's needles.
Prickly needles?
Prickly needles, yeah.
So if you said prickly needles to yourself, if you thought of that in the, you know, at some other point in time, would you be able to conjure up this particular sensation?
Yes.
Would you come back to this? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And on a scale from negative 10 being the worst to positive 10, where would you rate this prickly needles sensation?
-9.
Okay. So that is your negative body compass rating.
Mm-hmm.
The prickly needles is the sensation that describes your -9.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're ready, I'd like you to just shake off this memory. And I honestly, if you're capable of doing this, I'd love you to stand up and just move your body around for a couple of seconds. Okay. It's really important that, you know, we dislodge the energy from our bodies, particularly with the obviously negativity. And just like an animal, when it's, you know, it's had some type of pain or some type of trauma, it'll just shake. It'll just discharge that energy. So you have that shaken up a little bit? Take a couple of nice deep breaths. Okay. Okay. All right. So, guys, I'm going to be right back with you, Dee Dee. And you can just take this time to kind of move around and, you know, breathe and everything. Any questions about that before we go into our next part of that with Lisa? Any observations? Okay. All right, Lisa, I'd like you now to just guide Dee Dee through her positive memory.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi.
Now we get to do the opposite. I would like you to remember a wonderful experience. It might be with another person, by yourself, out in nature. Let me know when you have something in mind.
Okay, I have something.
Okay. I'd like you to put yourself in that memory and really feel the sensations of that time, the smells, the sounds. Put yourself in there.
Mm-hmm.
And with that event in mind, do a quick body check. What kind of physical sensations are you feeling as you remember this great experience?
I feel light. I feel I don't feel any just very light, airy. I feel like my breath is, I'm taking deep breaths. I feel natural, I guess. I don't know, I guess that's not a feeling. I feel at ease, easy, light.
Is there an area of your body that feels this most?
All over.
All over.
Okay, all over. Mm-hmm.
Say more about the natural feeling.
Being out of the day to day, so just kind of free.
Hmm.
No worries. No to do's. Yeah, just light.
You're light, airy.
Trying to think of feelings. I know describing the situation, but I guess it's just it's like inner peaceful. Grounded.
You feel peaceful and grounded.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to name these sensations, what might you call them? We've got prickly needles on one side and
yeah, so I would say peaceful, like feeling peaceful, feeling at ease, light.
Peaceful light, peaceful ease.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Just very lightweight. Very, yeah, but grounded, not like flying like a balloon, but like I kind of, you know, like I feel there are no heavy sensations in me. Like when I feel that prickly needle, that's heavy.
It's heavy.
Heavy, and this is light, just airy light. Say light and airy.
Light and airy feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let's revisit that scale from negative 10 being the worst to positive 10 being the best. Where would you rate this sensation?
I would say definitely a positive 9.
Positive 9. Sick.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
I'm definitely on the other end of the scale.
Right. Right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to stop there. And obviously, there's no need to shake this one off, Dee Dee.
Right.
You want to live this way.
Yeah.
Lisa, great job. Excellent.
How was that for you?
For me, all of these tools are awkward. I just need practice.
Okay. What do you think you did well?
I think I asked a few questions about specifically what Dee Dee was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to find a nice sensation that would be a good name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You did that. You did that and more. I'll tell you in a minute. Dee Dee, how was that for you?
That was great. I felt like she was really coaching me. I couldn't put words to the feeling. It was it was awkward. You feel it, but how do you put words to it?
Right.
I felt like she kept coaching me to get there. I think she did very well.
I agree. And we'll be right back with you, Dee Dee. You're not off the hook yet.
Okay.
You can just like, you can be light and airy for the next couple seconds or longer.
Okay.
So, Lisa, again, good job. I think you did a wonderful job, actually. Your pacing was great. You didn't go too fast. Sometimes new coaches tend to like kind of rush through this process, and it's really important to go very, very slowly with the client and allow that memory to really sink in. So, you know, I think you paced really well. You were asking really good questions, clarifying questions. You asked where in her body when she started to describe light and airy. It wasn't really specific, and you said, where in your body are you feeling that? And that was great because we really want to try to get the client to describe that sensation in the body. She said all over. I had a beep on my phone. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I had some strange beeping here. Hang on. Yeah, I had somebody call in. Okay, so she said all over, and so that was her answer. But you probed when she said natural. You said say more about natural, and then she kind of went more into concepts, right? She said free, I have no worries, and a few times you did great because you took her back into her body and helped her try to get back into those body sensations, because we're not really looking for the concept or the emotion. So you guided her back. You did just the right balance of like Dee Dee said, coaching her through coming up with the description, and yet you gave her time. You didn't rush and try to force something from her. So all in all, I thought it was great. It was terrific.
Thank you. That's great.
So
feedback.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. Okay, let's see. Who do we have for? We have Lizelle is going to be asking Dee Dee about her to-do list. So, Lizelle, you just want to get, you know, three different items in the next, you know, several days that she is on her to-do list. And then you want to find her body compass rating.
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Hi,
sure.
Dee Dee.
Hello.
Hey, Dee Dee, what do you have coming up this week?
Well, I have some, I've got to meet the appliance people tomorrow to deliver a new cooktop, and I'm hoping it doesn't conflict with work. So that's on my to-do list. And I have to, I'm in a new job, so I have to get, I have to study what I'm learning and memorize it so it's natural. So that I'm, when I'm with patients, that not wobbly and
that I, you know, look like I fairly know what I'm doing. And so I'm working on that this week. And let's see, my other to-do is I need to get with my other job and figure out how I'm going to transition out of that. Because I'm now doing health coaching and I'm working in an office with a doctor, which is what I want to do. And I was a real estate agent, which was not a good profession for me. So, but I'm licensed now. So that's on my to-do list of transitioning out of that job of how I'm going to do it smoothly and let go of it. I need to let go of it.
So, Judy, how do you feel about taking your to-do list and listening to your body and seeing what information it can give us in terms of how to rate your to-dos?
I'm okay with that.
Let's start at the top, okay? Let's imagine you're at home and the appliance guy is ringing the doorbell and you going out there to receive your new appliance. And put yourself in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And get into your body and tell me what information it's giving you. How do you feel in your body?
I just want to ask her rating. I'm sorry to interrupt. Lizelle, mm-hmm. You just want to ask her rating from negative 10 to positive 10.
Okay. So, Didi, you have a rating that you described to us on the negative side as, you know, heavy, pricky needles, and on the positive 9 side as easy, breezy, and light. Where would you rate this feeling when you think of receiving your appliances?
It's like a positive 3.
Positive 3. And now imagine you're getting ready and you're doing your homework. You're studying and learning more about your new health job and how the office works. And where would you place that on the scale?
Positive 6.
Positive 6. And then there's the other to-do that you described, you know, figuring out how to transition out of the real estate office. Imagine yourself doing that right now. And where would you place that on the scale?
Like a -6 or -7.
-6 or -7.
Okay, so Lizelle,
mm-hmm.
So just hang on a second. I'm going to have you actually go a little bit further with this, but
mm-hmm.
Awesome job. I just want to point out you did really well because with each of those, you know, those particular to-dos, you took her back into the situation. That was very well done. So you had her imagine and describe this, you know, you described the situation to her. So it kind of brought her back into that. So instead of just going through her list and saying, oh, you know, how do you rate meeting appliance people? You actually said, imagine tomorrow morning the appliance guy is coming, right? And so you took her back into that, you know, the scene, basically, and let her feel what that might be like. So that was very well done. And, again, you want to always ask, you know, where would you rate that? And even though it seems kind of redundant, you want to remind the client, because a lot of your clients won't be coaches. You want to tell them, remind them again, -10 to +10. Where would you rate that? Because they're just learning about their scale, right? So good job. So you see now, and I'm speaking to Lizelle, I'm guessing you see which one of these could be an opening for some further coaching, right?
Yes, I do.
So why don't you just take a couple minutes and just go and just play for a little while with last week's tools and just play around with number 3, her -6 to -7, okay?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Didi.
Hello.
So, you described your negative 6, negative 7 as your reading that you got when you thought about transitioning out of the real estate office. Could you tell me some more about that?
Yeah, I've been in just kind of restless over the thought of, do I hold on to my license? Do I work part-time and try to do both? I work so hard to get it. And I'm really, I just really need to choose. And then the more I think about it, like when I'm doing it, it's a career that just doesn't suit me. I take it home with me. There's always problems in every deal. It's too much drama. It doesn't suit me, and I just need to let it go. Mm-hmm. So I've been for the past couple of weeks just, I just need to go in, sit down with my broker and, transition out. And, and so you have this sort of like, oh, I just, it's just letting go. I just need to let go of it. And it's crazy because I should be able to let go of something that's like something I don't like to do. But because I put some work into it, I feel like I need to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so you're describing knowing what you believe your next best step is, but being reluctant to follow through and do it.
I didn't quite get what you just said. Can you say that again, please?
Yes. I said, on one hand, you're describing sort of knowing what the next step is, knowing that timing is good and that it's something that would benefit you to let go. And on the other hand, you're describing real reluctance for taking the next step. Would you say that's accurate?
I'm in that in-between, I guess, stuck in between and trying to, if this doesn't work out, I at least have that. But it's like, I don't want to go back to that anyway. So I just need to let it go.
What would you need to know to be able to confidently let it go?
I guess I would need to know, what's coming up for me to hold on to it is, what if I got an opportunity to work and make a bunch of money in real estate and I let my license go and the disappointment I would have and the loss of money? So that's what came up for me. But then I think for me to, I'm almost there. Like it's ridiculous. There's so many possibilities in the universe for money to come my way to doing what I love. And I don't make any money at real estate now. So I don't know why I'm having that thought. I sell very little. Okay. So like one house every like 3 months, crazy. Like I should, it should be a no-brainer. So
I'm going to I'll time out here for a second. Didi, we'll be right back with you and just go right back to light and airy if you can, okay?
Okay.
No prickly needles allowed, okay?
Okay.
So, LaSalle, let's have some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
If you want. I have tea as well if you like that better.
Yes. No way.
So, what do you think is really going on here? We've got a lot of information, and Dee's, been kind of describing some of her dilemma. What is coming up for you? What do you think might be the source of her, or a source of some dissatisfaction?
Well, I have a hunch. that Becky is seeing her real estate license as a bit of a safety net, a fallback. That she is kind of, if she knew tomorrow that being a health coach and this new job was just going to blossom and that it was going to, that she was safe there and that she was going to make all the money she needed there, that she wouldn't, that she'd walk in and give up her real estate license right away.
Mm-hmm. So what is your hunch?
My hunch is, how do I say this simply? My hunch is that she's not ready to give up her license until she feels more secure in her new job.
Okay. So what do you, let me ask you another question. What do you think mm-hmm. is causing Dee Dee the most pain in this situation?
What is causing Dee Dee the most pain in this situation?
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the pain here? What is causing Dee Dee to be upset or to be in pain?
You have me kind of stumped there, Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're looking, there's an area of low satisfaction. And so probably more than one thing is going through her mind. She's having some thoughts that are causing feelings. We haven't really heard her talk about her feelings specifically, have we?
No.
She hasn't really named a feeling, but she's kind of giving us indications of what's really kind of bugging her. So what do you think is one thing that's really working on Dee Dee?
What's one thing that's really working on Dee Dee?
Mm-hmm. You said you had a hunch that she's using her current license is kind of a safety net.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you still want to throw that out and see what comes back?
Sure.
Go for it.
Hey, hi, Dee.
Hi.
Hey, Dee, so I have a hunch, and I may be way off base here, but I get this feeling that maybe hanging on to your real estate license is a way for you to just have a safety net in case this coaching thing doesn't work out. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Oh no, you're right. But as soon as I hear that, it doesn't make sense. But you're right.
So,
that's what it has.
Mm-hmm.
Been. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you think that license, what does it mean to you to hang on to it?
Yeah, there's some feelings of failure. Like I was just never really succeeded at it.
Wow, failure is a strong emotion. Can you please tell me more about that?
I'm just disappointed, you know, like I thought I would do better. And it just wasn't the right career for me.
And when you think this thought of I could have done better or I should have done better.
I have some shame. I definitely feel some shame.
Wow, shame. And where in your body do you feel shame, Dee Dee?
In my chest.
Can you describe that sensation?
It's not the -9, but it's definitely prickly definitely, it's heat, a lot of heat, but it's not, I would say, yeah, I would say it's in like 6 or 7.
I'm gonna stop you guys. Not because you're doing anything wrong. You're doing a great job, LaSalle. But just for sake of time, I'm gonna kind of cut this short for right now. Excellent. Okay, we're gonna be back with you, Dee Dee. So stay with us.
Okay.
So excellent job, LaSalle. You did great. You asked some really good questions. I really liked the question you said, what do you need to know to positively let it go? That was a nice open-ended question, right? And a couple of times, you know, you did eventually throw out your see that more information came back to you, right? She actually said that was true. And then she went on and said, but that doesn't make sense. And then you ask another great question. What does it mean to hang on to it? What does it mean to you? Great, great question. And that led her to more clarity. I never really succeeded at it, she said. So you got to a limiting belief there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you actually named it, and then you took her into her, what the emotion was and into her body, which was great. But eventually we're going to be getting to working those thoughts. But you came up with a thought. You found a thought there. There's pain around the fact that she feels as though she's never really succeeded at real estate. And I don't have the exact word she used, but that's what you got to. Do you see that?
I do.
Mm-hmm. So good job.
I didn't know what to do with it yet, but...
Well, that's okay. You got her to, you basically got her to see how that was showing up and how what that was causing her in her body and in her emotions, right? So my hunch is that Dee Dee, even if you didn't do anything with that thought, she's got additional clarity about what's really going on here and why going into this transition meeting is so hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where I'm wrong, Dee Dee.
No, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, LaSalle. I'd like to open this up to the class for a minute and see what other hunches came up, if anyone else heard any other limiting thoughts. I heard a bunch of them.
I had a thought. This is Adrienne, and my hunch was that she was fearful for the future. And I guess that's where the safety net came in. But when you were saying what is the emotion that she might be feeling, and I didn't want to interrupt, of course, your coffee time, but I wanted to say fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't name an emotion, but there was, so that, how would you have phrased that into a hunch, Adrienne, if you were working with Dee Dee?
I have a hunch that you might be scared. Tell me where I'm wrong. Is that too forward?
Or feeling fearful for your future, for the future.
Right.
Right. So I'm basically, it's your idea, but you're putting it out there in a hunch form.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Dee Dee, tell her where she's wrong.
No, very accurate.
Okay. So there's something else. There's another entrance point there, right, Adrienne? So,
yes.
And this is what I'm trying to show you guys is that there's all different ways. Everyone can be coaching Dee Dee differently, and there's going to be different points of entry where you're going to see a different way to go into her thinking here. And there are several thoughts. My hunch is there's probably a cluster of things going on with this situation. So any one of those, you can bring the client some relief with, you know, trying to work that thought. And you're going to learn about that, so it's not something you know now. But even just spotlighting that particular point at which she's having pain. So good hunch, Adrienne. Anyone else?
I did. This is Hope.
Okay, Hope.
It was when Dee Dee said that she felt that she used the word failure, and my hunch was that she had invested a lot of time and energy in this career, and it hadn't turned out the way she had hoped, and that there had been some expectation there, and and that the expectation and the reality didn't meet up, and that left her with disappointment and feeling like a personal failure. And so I think I would have probably tapped into that and tried to get her to talk more about what led her to the feeling of failure. Because someone else might just say, well, I did, it didn't work out, moving on. But there's, you know, another person would react differently. So
I had
a marmoset when I heard failure. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so you had the marmoset. So you could then have taken that marmoset and expounded on that and brought that into a hunch form. You know, like, I have a hunch that you that there might be a sense of failure here. Tell me where I'm wrong. You know, that could have gotten to, you know, that would have gotten to the very same thing that Lizelle got to in a different way, right? So
Exactly.
It's that marmoset. That's your intuition. And so then you want to take that and bring that into a hunch.
Okay.
So you're not saying, I think you have a sense of failure, Dee Dee. You want to form it into a hunch so it's not leading the client. Right?
Right. And since she used the word failure, I would probably say, can you say more about that? Say more about
exactly.
that feeling
Perfect.
Of failure. And then see where it goes.
Exactly. And then from there, forming a hunch, perhaps, from what she said more of. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And again, that's perfect. That's a really good illustration, too, of a hunch versus a mirroring. And I can't remember who asked that initially, but there's an illustration. Instead of saying, you know, I have a hunch that you're a failure, if you just heard the client say that, that's not really a hunch, right, that you feel like a failure, if she had just told you that. So instead, you'd ask her to say more. Correct? Okay. I'm sorry. I have some kind of like a beep here of my line. Awesome. So thank you, Hope. I appreciate that. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Sarah. I had a hunch that she was having, that Dee Dee was having or has some limiting beliefs around enough of it. She said that part of holding on to the real estate job, she said she even kind of, as a side note to herself, she said, well, I haven't even made that much money in it, but in case what I'm currently doing, you know, I don't end up making enough money, that I'll have that as a backup.
Mm-hmm. So you would have formulated a hunch around the financial aspect and thrown that out to her?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Anybody else?
This is Rachel. I sort of had a hunch that, and I wouldn't be sure how to say this to her, but that she was almost, there was like a self-punishing element to the fact that she wanted to kind of make herself stay in this real estate game, even though it really hasn't worked for her, that she feels, I guess it's linked back to that feeling of failure, but that she's willing to like make herself keep trying to prove, you know, instead of letting it go, to somehow prove more to herself that it really isn't right, and not trusting herself. Maybe it's more of a trusting, like she's not trusting herself that she tried it didn't work, and that to trust in herself to move into another area.
So then you could simply say, I have a hunch that you're not trusting yourself to move into another area. Tell me why.
Okay. Yeah.
Or something like that. I'm not telling you how to phrase it, but that I'm just...
Right. No, that sounds right. I do feel like I often have a hunch that sounds a little bit too harsh, so I'm needing to, like, find a softer delivery that can be heard, you know.
Mhm. Mhm.
That's where I'm working on. with my.
And you know,
guys,
there is nothing wrong with taking a couple of seconds if you need to with your client and say, just give me a moment here. I'm coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm formulating something, you know, because,
yeah.
you know, as we're learning to coach, you know, it can, we've got a lot going on. We're trying to be open and listening to the client, and we're also trying to formulate, you know, our own hypothesis. And so there's nothing wrong with slowing it down and just letting the client know that you're thinking, you know. So, but that was great. And it's in just forming those hunches and learning how to put them together in a succinct way, you know, that takes practice, right? So I think you guys are doing excellent. So, yeah, so we got to a lot here. And as you can see, using this access tool of just the to-do list was an amazing opportunity. I mean, this transition out of her job is really weighing on her. And there was a lot of things she said, and there's a cluster of thoughts going on here. I heard a bunch of thoughts. I heard several times she said, I need to let it go. Even that could be causing her distress. Sounds like she's putting a lot of pressure on herself. Tell me where I'm wrong, Dee Dee.
No, it's very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I am putting pressure on myself. So
you said, I need to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Even when you think the thought, I need to choose. How does that make you feel?
I have to. It sounds like I have to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also said, I should be able to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
My hunch is there's a lot, there's a whole issue there about this, that Lizelle got to, about this, I never really succeeded at this. That's a pain point for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this part of you that's beating yourself up because you're not letting it go. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So I should be able to let it go. When you think that, how does that make you feel?
It's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Very stuck.
Right.
As opposed
where do you
to feel in my head.
Mm-hmm. So I should be able to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, right?
Right.
So when you tell yourself that and you're not, you're chastising yourself. Tell me
right. Right. Yeah, that's right. It's almost like I'm waiting to have some thoughts that make it okay. Like, yeah, I'm waiting for those thoughts to come that, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And they're not coming.
Right.
So, yeah, it keeps me in this, like, stuck place, beating myself up, in conflict
right.
over it. Mm-hmm.
So you're causing yourself additional conflict. You already have the conflict about, you know, the fact that that there's these feelings under the surface about having this license that you feel you never adequately used, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then you're beating yourself up because you're not able to let go of it right away. Well, maybe you're not able to let go of it because you haven't resolved the pain about succeeding. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Right. So my hunch is until you deal with this pain that Lizelle uncovered for you about not succeeding, you're not going to be able to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So telling yourself I should be able to let go and you're not
is just causing yourself pain on top of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if it wasn't true that you should be able to let it go? What if it wasn't true that you had to make a choice? I need to choose. What if you didn't? You couldn't even think that thought?
Oh, it would be very freeing.
How might you feel?
I would feel at ease. I would feel no. I wouldn't be worrying. I would feel my light, airy self again when that topic came up.
Right. So I need to choose, or I should be able to make this choice. It's all kind of the same thing, this forcing, this pushing,
mm-hmm.
Right?
So that's a limiting belief.
That is a limiting belief. And mm-hmm. there's also something else in here behind that Lisselle uncovered, which is I never really succeeded at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a limiting belief. They're both limiting beliefs, and I'm saying this for the benefit of the class as well. Can you
mm-hmm.
see, Dee Dee, how there's kind of two kind of separate, but yet they're interwoven here, right? They're kind of
right. Mm-hmm.
Underneath the "I need to let this go" is this other pain about why you're not letting it go, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You feel like you have never really succeeded at that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So forcing yourself to let go before you're able to like work that through that pain isn't going to really meet the need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like your essential self knows that. And it feels stuck.
Right.
And I'm not trying to complicate things here. I'm just trying to show that there's actually
mm-hmm.
a couple of things going on here for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that thought, I should be able to let it go, or I should be able to choose, or I need to choose. Basically, I need to get on with it, right?
Right, right.
And you're not getting on with it.
Right,
so,
because I'm stuck
right.
in not resolving the feeling.
That's exactly
or not,
right.
yeah.
Right. So you because there's pain inside, in you know, there's pain around that license that's
mm-hmm.
still unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you didn't have to make a choice right now? What if you could just go and start studying for your new job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And then start in the next, you know, few weeks, start getting some coaching around the issue about your real estate license and what that means to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're really, really telling yourself a painful story when you say I never succeeded at that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels right. I mean, that feels
yeah.
like I don't need to jump in.
Because
to,
remember,
I can.
You
about
don't
the end
want
of the year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to go toward the light and airy. You want to be able to take those deep breaths.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you do want to work on this pain that you feel around the license. But you can
mm-hmm.
see how your body's not going to let you, it's not going to let you avoid that. It's going to almost keep you stuck until you do. And then when you
right.
flagellate yourself for not making a choice and letting go of something, that's just adding additional pain. You're beating yourself up while you're already down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what I do.
Any of that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It does a lot. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
this is good work. It's good. I love the way this work, that this pieces everything out. It's great.
It unfolds, right? And again, for
mm-hmm.
everyone, what you've all heard here, and everybody had great hunches and feedback, but you've heard how there are many different points of access. And we're not going to be able to solve a client's entire, you know, issue necessarily even in one session. But there are several things that came out from just a little bit of questioning that are causing Dee Dee tremendous pain. And it's all her thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have a real estate license and you have a new job is not causing you pain. It's what you make that mean. It's what you're making it mean. I need to figure this out. I need to let this go. I need to choose. I should be able to let it go. That's causing pain.
Right.
Right. And there might be some things around, like a few of you pointed out, about the financial and about the safety net. So there's that too.
Mm-hmm.
So many, many, many access points here, guys. And there's no right or wrong. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dee Dee, you've been great. How has this been for you? I know you've been through the mill.
it's been great.
Stuff.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got to work on it because, it was heavy on my mind. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
And now you have your body compass calibration. You can take into all of your decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You know your prickly needles feeling, and you know that light and airy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's going to get you closer to light and airy is the way to go.
Yeah.
So how can you make this number three, this transition, how can you make it a little more light and airy this week?
Just focus on what I'm doing. I think just spend the week being in my new environment and absorbing it and being able to be a new person, and that I'm a baby right now here, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have support around that. Like, I'm not pretending to be, they know I'm new and I'm getting the support I need here, which is really great. And it's a wonderful environment. Like, this is where I need to be, definitely.
Right.
It's a holistic environment. It's, yeah.
So going toward the light and airy, and mm-hmm. also simultaneously, trying to, as you guys start to have coaching relationships, maybe working on that, that pain around your real estate license.
Mm-hmm.
And not beating yourself up because it's there.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And starting to chip away at that as well. So thank you, Dee Dee. I appreciate your transparency and your TAO-ness today. That was great.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome.
I have to sign off because I got to get back to work.
Okay.
But thank you so much.
Got it. Good. Okay. Guys, I know we ran a little bit over. Any questions or feedback?
Yeah, this is Sarah. I just have one quick question. You were saying to her, don't force herself to let go of where she's feeling stuck. And then you said, and I didn't get the whole thing, you were referencing her essential self and how it knows. And I was hoping you could expand a little on that, meaning what? Her essential self knows what?
Sarah, I wish I could tell you. I talk, and what's coming out of me I don't necessarily record in my mind, but I think what I was trying to say is your essential self always knows what's right for you, and I'm guessing that's what I meant. Your essential self, was it in reference or context with forcing herself to make a choice? Is that what I was talking about?
Yes, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your essential self knows what it needs. And I was talking about the body is giving her a message. Her body's basically kind of shutting her down to being able to move forward. And I think what I meant was, just your essential self, it knows what needs to happen. And you don't want to force yourself she's telling herself, I need to make a choice.
Right.
And her essential self, it knows what needs to happen first. There's something there that's holding her back. She's got a lot of pain. She's got some painful thinking about this real estate license in general. And I'm guessing that that's what I meant, that her essential self...
That was exactly it.
Is bringing it to the surface, right?
Right.
Yeah, and her body's kind of
her body's there in service to her greater good. So when we have these sensations in our body, and you'll be learning more about this, our bodies cannot lie. Our minds can lie. Our bodies can't. So our bodies will tell us when there's something going on that's not the truth. It's you know, when we are believing a lie, our bodies are going to tell us that. So I should be able to let this go. Really? Her body's reacting toward that statement inside of herself. Her body's actually not letting her move on. She said she's feeling that stuck feeling inside of her body. Her body's saying, maybe it's not, maybe you shouldn't be able to let this go. Maybe there's something here you still need to work on.
Okay.
Right? And even the deeper, the other issue, I never really succeeded at this. My hunch is that if I asked her what she felt when she thought that, it will be very painful. She said shame when Lizelle coached her. When we feel pain like that, it's because we're believing something that's not serving us. I never really succeeded at this, is not serving her essential self. So ultimately, we will be questioning that thought, and that's down the road. I hope that answers it a little bit. Honestly, when I talk and when I speak, it just comes from wherever.
No,
it comes from my essential self.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Okay, so guys, I want you to go and practice with the body compass this week, and just go out there and with a couple of people. It's very important that you also let yourself be the client, because it's something that will be a totally different experience for you if you have somebody do it for you. It's not something we really can take ourselves through, because we're actually in our bodies. It's not like, and we don't want to be in our mind at the same time, so it's really important that you have someone else run you through the body compass. So practice being coached and coaching on the body compass this week. And I have the forum thread going. Appreciate everything everybody contributed today. It's been a great class. Any more burning questions before I say goodbye? Or any feedback? Okay, well, you can find me on the forum anytime you have a question with your coaching. Just post something there, and we will take it up next week. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you.
You too.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dixie.
Bye-bye. Bye.